chapter 3, verse 1, very short verse, says this: Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. How many know that there's an hour of prayer for us? There's a time for us to receive from God and to praise the Lord. I was listening to a song today. This is kind of just a bridge that they go through. But if you stand with me, if you're able, get ready to worship the Lord. But in the bridge, this song says, He woke me up this morning, got me on my way, put food on my table. I've got a reason to praise. You know, it's really just that simple. All of us got up this morning. All of us are still alive. All of us are still here. Most of us had either food or will have food after church. I just want to let you know that that's a reason to praise. That's a reason to worship. I don't care what's been going on in your life. I don't care how down you feel or how up you feel. There's a reason to praise, just to be alive, just to be here in the United States where we can worship the Lord freely, where we're not bound by some kind of, you know, place where we have to go in secret and worship. Praise God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you did. You woke us up this morning, Lord, and you did. You got us on our way. And, Lord, for many of us, Lord, you did put food on our table, and we do have a reason to praise you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We praise your name, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are here right now, Lord. You're ready, Lord, to work in our lives, Lord. You're ready to move in our lives, Lord. We open up our hearts, Lord. We open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today, Lord. We ask, God, that if there's anything blocking you right now, Jesus, that you would remove it from us, Lord, and allow your presence, allow your truth to penetrate our hearts and allow us to come alive to what it means to be a daughter of the King, a son of the King, a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Set our hearts on you, our Father. Set our hearts on you, our Father. Posture our hearts to you this morning. Only think of you, only think of you. We set our hearts on you, Father. We set our gaze on you, Father. No matter what happened today, yesterday or this week, posture our hearts to you, Father, and let us set our gaze on you, Jesus. Let us set our gaze on you, Jesus, because we bring our praise to you. Because we bring our praise to you, Jesus. Oh. And let us set our gaze on you, Jesus. Don't need words on a screen to worship you.
Right now, I just challenge everybody just to sing out their own song.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
If you don't know what to sing, just begin thanking him in your own words.
Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thankfulness opens the floodgates. And we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. It's a miracle we're here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. And your presence, Lord. Sing, I've tasted. Oh, I've tasted. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh, your presence, Lord.
Come on, church, you know these words. Sing, Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, oh,
sing, there's nothing worth more.
And there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. Let us become more aware of your presence. flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, sing Holy Spirit, and you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, that's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your
next song, I want to read a verse over you guys. This song, just one of these, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, where a worship song just hits you right in the spirit. Yeah. And it's based off of this Psalm 103. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." How many of you guys are glad that's the God we serve, that heals all our diseases? Verse 4 says, "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on, this is a declaration to our Father. And as we continue to sing about his presence, just know this, that we're not just giving the Lord lip service this morning. We're really after his presence this morning. And I would just challenge you to step out of your comfort zone this morning. And maybe for you, stepping out means you sing a little bit louder. Maybe for you, that means you lift a hand. Maybe for you, that means you step out of your seat. I promise you that God is not just at your seat. How sweet it is when you show up. I'm lost for words when you come. I get caught up in the mystery of everything you're doing. I lift my eyes, there you are. I cast my cares to your arms. I won't forget, I must respond to everything that you're doing. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, let everything within me bless his name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, let everything within me bless his name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, let everything within me bless his name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, let everything within me bless his name.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul, let everything within me bless
His name. Oh, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything within me bless His name. Oh, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything within me bless His name. Oh, bless His name. Bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord. I will not forget Your benefits, Your goodness, and who forgives our sins, and who heals our sickness, He does, who redeems the broken, with the crown of compassion, and I cannot be silent, and I can help but sing it, yeah, I will not. Goodness, and who forgives our sins, and who heals our sickness, Jesus, who redeems the broken with the crown of compassion, and I cannot be silent, I can help but sing it, and I will not forget Your benefits, Your goodness. Who forgives our sins, and who heals our sickness, who redeems the broken with the crown of compassion, and I cannot be silent, I can help sing it, no, I cannot be silent, I can help sing it. No, I cannot be silent. I can help sing it. Yeah. No, I cannot be silent. Whoa. No, I cannot be silent. And I will not be quiet.
Thank you.
from Calvary's mountain, flowing down to you and I. It washes us clean. Oh, what a mystery that red blood makes me white. Oh, isn't wild? Does it make you wonder something so profound could be so simple? Blood, oh, wonderful blood. Your love, oh, marvelous love. Let the redeemed sing a song. Praises belong to the Son. Blood, oh, the wonderful blood. My precious Jesus, oh, I'm so thankful for the day you saved my life. As I remember, my heart grows tender. Tears begin to fill my eyes. Oh, isn't wild? Does it make you wonder something so profound could be so simple? Oh, isn't it wild? Does it make you wonder how something so divine could be so simple? The blood.
Isn't it wild? Just something that doesn't make any sense to our natural mind. The God of all glory, the one who created everything, the one who spoke everything into existence, died for us, made it so that we could receive his eternal life. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, Lord. We thank you, God, that not one drop of your blood was wasted, God, but it was fully effective for doing the work in our lives, cleansing us and washing us, purifying us, making us into who you've desired us to be. From eternity's beginning, Lord, this is your desire for us, Lord, that we would be your sons and daughters, your children, being able to gather around you in your throne room, worshiping you, abiding in your presence,
And we're doing that right now by faith, Lord. We're doing that right now by faith. We're coming into your throne room, Lord. We're thanking you for your sacrifice, Jesus. We're thanking you, Lord, for what you've done for us. I'm remembering, Lord, that day on the cross where you hung for us. You were beaten for us. You were bruised for us. As the scriptures say, the chastisement of our peace even fell upon you. Lord, because of your stripes, we are healed. We're healed body, soul, and spirit. I pray today that we would receive that truth, that eternal truth, Lord, even deeper into our hearts. That we are healed. That our lives are healed from sin, our lives are healed from sickness, our lives are healed from strife and pain. Even though we may face those things, Lord, they're healed in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to take communion now. So if you would come up and grab one of the emblems of communion. Thank you, Lord. And if you're wondering about what this is all about, if you're saying, I don't know really what this is a opportunity for us to remember what the Lord did for us on the cross. We proclaim his death until he comes, it says, through this act of communion. Communion in the English, if you just break it down, means common union. So when we partake of the cracker today, and we partake of the juice, it's if we're having union with God himself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you feel like you can't take it because you don't know him, all you have to do is say, Lord, I receive you during this communion. I receive you into my life during this communion today. It's that simple. It's that simple. Well, I chose this particular cracker for a reason today. It says that his body was broken for us. And this particular cracker is going to sound like it cracks. It breaks because his body was broken for us. So if you take your cracker and just break it. If it falls, don't worry about it. His body was broken for us. Lord, we thank you that your body was broken for us, Lord. That you became unrecognizable almost to human beings, Lord, because of the battering that you took. And you did that for us, Lord. You didn't do it just to prove something. You did it out of love. Your wonderful love, Lord. Your marvelous love. That's why, Lord, you hung on the cross, because you love us. You could not stand to see us separated from the Father, separated from your love any longer. You said, they've got to come back. Just as you decided in the Garden of Gethsemane when you sweat those drops of blood and you decided to go through with the cross, you aligned your will with the Father's in prayer. You knew what it was going to take to bring us back. The separation. But Lord, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despising its shame. And yes, Lord, now you have seated at the right hand on the throne of glory next to your Father. So Lord, we thank you for your broken body. And we right now, we partner, we participate, Lord, we have common union with you. In this bread. Go ahead and take the bread and eat it. Thank you for being broken for us, Lord. on the night that he was betrayed and went into the hands of sinful men, he told the disciples that were there that, "Take, eat, this is my body," and he handed them the bread. But then he said something radical. He said, "This cup, what it represents is the new covenant in my blood. There's a new covenant I'm making with mankind, and it's because of my blood. And isn't it wild? Doesn't it make you wonder how something so simple could be so profound? Lord, we thank you for your blood being shed for us. We thank you, Lord, for your blood making us white as snow, righteous in your eyes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the purification, Lord, that the blood brings to our lives, Lord. Lord, we remember you in your sacrifice for us. We remember you right now with your gift of life that you've given us, Lord. The word says that the life is in the blood. That was like 4,000 years before the doctors ever realized it. And they quit draining people's blood when they were sick. The life flow is in the blood. So Lord, we receive your life into our life today. Go ahead and drink. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord for his work in your life and what he's done for you through his sacrifice. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, were our sacrifice, Lord. You took the cross, Lord. You despised its shame, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives, Jesus. We just receive, Lord, everything that you have accomplished in the cross in our lives today, Jesus. We receive it, Lord, afresh, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord.
The work you did is finished. All of our sins forgiven. And now we get to live in the wonder of the working blood. The cross was your decision, but death was not the ending. You rose and now we're risen. Oh, the wonder of the working blood. The work you did is finished. All of our sins forgiven. And now we get to live in the wonder of the working blood. The cross was your decision, but death was not the ending. You rose and now we're risen. Oh, the wonder of the working blood. The work you did is finished. All of our sins forgiven. And now we get to live in the wonder of the working blood. The cross was your decision, but that was not the ending. You rose and now we're risen. Oh, the wonder of the working blood. Oh, the wonder of the working blood. Oh, the wonder of the working blood. Oh,
blood,
oh, the wonderful blood. Your love, oh, the marvelous love. Let the redeemed sing a song, praises belong to the Son. The blood, oh, the wonderful blood. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me
and every one of us. If there's anything we take home today from this time together, Lord, let us realize, Lord, how much you love us. Help us to receive, Lord, that perfect love that comes from heaven. That makes us complete as your children. That casts out all fear. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here right now, working in every heart and every life, bringing transformation and change, Lord, to every life right now. Help us not be the same when we leave, Lord. Help us not to be the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap for his marvelous love and blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll take a few minutes, greet each other, and we'll be right back. God bless.
All right, would you guys stand with me? We're going to do our Heart of the House declaration. We have a heart for the house of God, amen. And we believe that God has a heart for our house here, One Life Family Worship. And so let's declare this together on the count of three, if you would. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, that He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. So God, yes, we all come into agreement with this. We thank you, Father, that you are blessing this house, God. We thank you, Father, that you are doing something miraculous here in this place, God. We thank you, Father, that every person, Lord, every young person, God, every older person, God, Lord, they're experiencing, Lord, your love. They're experiencing your presence, God. They're experiencing your healing, God. We thank you, God, that you're going to use our church, God, to be a light, Lord, to be a beacon of hope, God, into our city, into our valley, God. We thank you so much, God, that every person that walks in here has an opportunity, Lord, to meet you. And we thank you, God, that you dwell in the house of God and that this is a house of God. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. You guys can be seated. If you guys haven't seen this, we've been putting up this last month, as well as there's a poster out in the lobby. And really what this is just if you want more information, if you bring a person that's new and they want to connect, they want to meet with Pastor Mike or Pastor Gaylene or myself or my wife, they can do that. If they want to get baptized, if they want to get involved at all, this is a way they can do that. And it's just a quick little Google form that you fill out and we'll get that information. And so we'll continue to remind you guys of that. Something cool that's been happening these last few months is our prayer nights. So we've been hosting prayer in homes. I don't know if you guys are aware, but God does not just live in the four walls of the church, that we are the church and that we've gathered in homes around our valley, and we've got to see God show up in a big, big, grand way. And so we've been doing these, and do we have one this upcoming Saturday, Pastor? The last Saturday at the St. Martin's. Yeah. And so going back to this slide, if you're not a part of our text chain, you could put your info there, and that way Pastor knows you want to be. And so this is good because every event we have, whether it's a men's breakfast or a women's event or a picnic in the park or a prayer night, Pastor sends out a text, and so you can get that info. Do you want me to go back to it, Gay? Yeah, go ahead. And so Pastor will send out the info, the address, all of that. And I will remind you of this, that, even if you can't make it, one, I will highly encourage you to prioritize these. Even if you can't make it to everyone, at least try to make it to one. This is really, where we feel God is leading our hearts, in that we are coming together in houses to pray. But if you can't, I would encourage you just to gather with your families in your own home and just pray with one another on these Saturdays and just come in unison with what God is doing at One Life. Amen? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so Pastor Gay was saying in the common area on that Google Doc on the bottom, if there's something you want to be prayed for or be a part of the prayer chain, you could put that info there. And then thank you for giving. Thank you guys for sowing into the house of God. It goes a long way. There's a box up here, our treasure chest up here, box in the back as well as online. I think you guys all know how to do that. And we just thank you that you are praying and prayerfully considering your tithe and your offering going to this house, and we love it. And last but definitely not least, the children of God. If I can have the children up here. And for those of you who aren't aware, this excited child is his birthday today. So how old are you?
Five.
Is there any wisdom you want to share with the church?
No.
No. Okay. You want to sing happy birthday, Gay? All right. Yes. All right. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these children. We thank you, Lord, for their hearts. We thank you, Jesus, that you actually call us to be like them. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're doing a mighty work, God, in all of these young lives. We thank you for what they're going to learn today, God. And we just continue to declare, Lord, a thriving children's ministry in this house of God. Amen. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And when we're saying a thriving children's ministry, we don't just mean just a lot of kids, even though that would be cool. What we mean is that their hearts are being touched by the Lord in a significant way, that they're not just going down and just spending time just to kill time. They're going down there to actually receive from the Lord, that hopefully after worship, they're ready to receive just like you're ready to receive. Amen, yeah. Amen. All right, praise God. Well, I'm going to start with prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for God, that you've developed, Lord, in us, Lord, as your people, Lord, a heart of prayer. And Lord, if it's not activated, Lord, in anyone here in this place right now, Father, I pray that you would just, Lord, do that in them. Lord, activate a fresh heart of prayer. And Lord, don't let it be a religious tradition. Don't let it be something that is just rote, Lord, but let it be vibrant and alive and real. Lord, I pray that there would just be a transformation in their understanding, Lord, of what it means to be a son and daughter of God, who can pray and what it does accomplish in the kingdom of God. Give me your words today, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak through me. If there's anything that I'm not fully communicating in this truth, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would impart it to each heart right now, and that we would be able to see, Lord, this desire fulfilled, Lord, of your desire of us to become houses of prayer and ultimately a house of prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. That being said, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, it says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Joyful. I think that joyful is something that I have overlooked so far. And there's something about a joy that comes when you are in intimacy with God. It's like all of a sudden things start working out, even though they're not working out. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's an easier yoke to carry, as Jesus said. It's a rest that you can enter in. And so I believe that that's part of the idea of us becoming a house of prayer, is to be people of significant joy, supernatural joy. And like Gay was sharing last night, joy isn't just an outward happiness that people see you always smiling. It's an inward contentment and resolve, and it's indescribable. It's wild. It's wonderful, as that song says. And it says, in my house of prayer, there'll be joy. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And as shared last week, Jesus declared this when he went through and cleaned out the temple, when he got rid of the money changers, he got rid of those selling doves and other worship items. And in the court of the Gentiles, he cleanse that place and said, no, this is not what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a house of prayer. So as Eric said so eloquently, I invite you to the host homes for prayer nights. And all I know is I've been able to go to all of them, and they've all been different. They've all been very significant. Last night was very special, very intimate. There was a few of us, and the Lord, you know, he worked. And so don't feel guilt or shame if you can't make it. Just know that it's an opportunity that we're presenting. It's part of that desire that I have to become a house of prayer, for us to sow into it. That's why I'm going to prayer meetings. That's why I'm meeting with praying brothers and sisters, because I'm trying to be a model for you of what a prayer individual is. And so if I haven't done that well in the past, Well, that's in the past. Thank you, Jesus, right? It's under the blood, it's under the sacrifice. But now, this fresh new day that we're walking in, I want to try to be as good an example as I can. As I follow the Lord, you can follow me into what it means to be a person of prayer. So the power of prayer, purposeful request, aligning your eternal reality. I encourage you to try to at least read that every now and then and get it into your heart, because as I shared in that message, if you wonder what it's about, it was a two-part series, maybe three-part series, can't remember now, but it really communicated this idea of what it means to have purposeful requests and how those purposeful requests don't necessarily change God and change his mind, but they help us align with his will and his purposes and his plan. And, you know, God's will sometimes is a mystery to us. I don't know. Anybody else agree? I mean, it's like, Lord, what do you want done? It's amazing how in prayer we can start aligning our hearts and our lives with his will. So I'm going to talk about the incense of prayer today. And this is a message that hopefully will communicate a truth that I think is sometimes not really the focus of prayer. But I want us to know that our prayers have eternal weight on them. And hopefully I'll be able to show that to you. So first of all, I want to let you know where incense really first started. It was in Exodus chapter 30, verse 6, 8. Actually, it starts in verse 1, but it says here in verse 6, place the incense altar just outside the inner curtain. Now, this inner curtain was the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And only the priest could go in there once a year, and he put blood on the mercy seat. He went in there with incense, burning, and so much burning of incense that it filled the holy place, the Holy of Holies, with smoke. And he was in there ministering, and that was God's instruction. So they were to place this altar of incense just outside the curtain, I believe, like right in the center. It was to be the closest to the curtain without catching the curtain on fire, because it was fire that they were burning. But it was to represent something. I don't think they quite understood all of it. They just had directions that God gave them. And here are the directions. It says that the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, where it basically covered the law. It covered Aaron's rod that budded. It covered, I believe, a jar of manna. And so it was a very significant place. And that mercy seat was then had blood applied to it once a year. And that would push the people's sins off for another year. They were rejoicing because their sins were being kind of pushed back, and they weren't being judged for those sins that year. Jesus fulfilled it, where our sins are forgiven, as we sang today. It says here, I will meet with you there every morning when Aaron maintains the lamps. He must burn fragrant incense on the altar. So every morning, Aaron was to go in. Aaron was the high priest. He was to go in and he was to burn incense and add incense to what was already burning there. There were already coals of fire there. He was to add incense. And it says, and each evening when he lights the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. And so this is something that they did as long as they had a temple. When they didn't have a temple, they weren't able to do this anymore. And when it was destroyed in 70 AD, it hasn't happened, other than symbolically they do incense and they burn it somewhere. Now, this is not the incense that is like a little stick, you know, that we're used to, you know, or just a little tiny holder. This is not 100% accurate, but this is kind of what it was like. The priest would have his bowl that had the incense spices in it. There were four spices that were set apart for this holy use. This incense wasn't to be used for anything else. And if they burnt any other incense that wasn't this plan, the way that God designed it, then there would be judgment. And you can read about that in the Bible if you want to. But they would take the incense, and I'll show you here. I did a little bit of a animation. Let's see if it works. Here it is. They would take it and they'd pour it on. It'd smoke and everything, because it had like flammable stuff in it. And it would just a larger cloud of smoke would fill the place. And that was similar to what the high priest would do once a year. this incense was to be going before God all the time. And they were just being obedient to what it said. I don't think they truly understand all the depths of it. So I want to go to Psalm 141. This is David. David, how many know that David was a very significant individual? Not just king, not just a shepherd boy, not just, you know, who slew a lion and slew Goliath. I mean, he had all these attributes, but he was also a prophet. He understood dimensions of God's kingdom way before it ever happened. He's the one in Psalm 22 who basically sees Jesus hanging on the cross and describes as if it was him seeing everything that happened to him. So in Psalm 141, he says this, a psalm of David, Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me, give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayers be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. And he goes on to say, keep me from evil. He's praying a prayer of sanctification, of being who God has called him to be. But he's saying, let my prayers be to you as incense. Now, nowhere else in the Bible had it said it up to this point. But again, David speaking prophetically is communicating a truth that these prayers that we pray are like incense. And I will show you, actually, in the book of Revelation, how they're still working. Amen? All right, let's look at this. This is Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. And it says here, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Notice this is the Jewish God saying, my name is going to be great among Gentiles. And I'm sure that in that time, the people who heard this word probably had a certain perspective because the Gentiles weren't allowed in the temple. The Gentiles weren't allowed to go and worship God like they could worship God. And so they're probably thinking, okay, that's great. Evidently, the way that we worship is going to be great among the Gentiles. But he says in every place, what is that? That's other than the temple, isn't it? In every place, every city, every home, every heart. This is what he's prophetically starting to talk about, what he plans on doing. Malachi is the last book of the Bible in the Old Testament before 400 years of silence. And then guess who comes on the scene? Jesus. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Again, this is similar to my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is the heart of God through the prophet Malachi communicating that in every place, incense is to be burned. But not the kind of incense that I showed you a few minutes ago. It's us. It's us praying. It's our hearts crying out to God is the incense. And I believe that priest, when he was doing what he was commanded to do, was a foreshadow of what you and I are now. We're now the incense burners. We're now the ones that lift up praises, lift up prayers to God, and it says incense before his throne. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, we see Zacharias, who was a priest, and it says that he was of the division, and he was on duty, the division of priesthood. He was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. So now, this isn't Aaron. This is one of his descendants way, way down the line. And he's been called now to be one of the individuals who are going to go in at probably the 3 p.m. hour, that evening hour, the hour of prayer, when Peter and John were going up to the temple, guess what? It was the hour of prayer. They were going up to that same time that the incense was to be burned. And it says here that he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. I think we need to stop right there. This is before Jesus. This is before the cross. This is before anything happening. And they understood that this was a time to pray and seek God. That's why Peter and John were heading to the temple at that ninth hour, 3 o'clock, as we would call it. And the people are praying outside in unity. I think it's a prime illustration of why we do houses of prayer, why we pray here in the morning, why we pray together when we have opportunities to gather corporately and pray. Yes, we need to pray individually, but we also need to pray together. There's power in prayer individually, but I believe there's power in prayer, and who knows, maybe even greater power in prayer when we're praying together, because we've got the power of agreement going on. And when the time for the burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Most people believe that a lot of people knew this was the time of Messiah. 4,000 years, that was kind of declared through the prophets and through not just the Old Testament, through other places that the Jewish people knew. And they were looking for Messiah. There were people that were told that it was going to be at a certain date. And so they knew they were coming right into that date. And so they were probably praying for their Messiah. Well, you know what happened when this angel appeared to Zacharias? Zacharias was told about the birth of John, that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a child. And who did that child end up becoming? John the Baptist, the one crying in the wilderness, the one making the way for the Lord, preparing the way for the Lord. The one who was in, you know, goat hair and eating grasshoppers and just living a wild life. But he was preparing people's hearts for repentance. This was a significant moment. And it happened when? The hour of incense. Praise God. All right. Let's keep rolling. Matthew 7, 50 through 51. Remember I talked to you about the curtain? Well, that... Go ahead. 27, sorry, Matthew, thank you for correcting me. Matthew 27, 50 through 51. This is a significant moment. This is when Jesus is hanging on the cross. This is when he's giving up his life. He's finished his work. In John, he uses the word, it is finished. But in the other Gospels, we see this significant moment happen. I think it might be Luke and Matthew, might also be in Mark. But what ends up happening is that the moment that Jesus gave up his spirit, released his spirit. It says, then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Shouted out, it is finished, most likely. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple. Remember, guys, this curtain? Where on the other side, nobody could go in except the high priest once a year. Where the incense was burning. And it could only burn outside, and only the priest could be in the holy place. The people had to be on the outsides in the courts. Getting back to this, that curtain in the sanctuary was torn in two. But not just torn in two, it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth shook. Rocks split apart. What is this saying? This is saying that veil was torn so that we could have access to the holy place, so that we could be incensed, not just outside a curtain, not outside out of God's presence. We could be incensed in his presence. We could be praying right in his very presence, just like we did today. When we opened the service, you say, well, we're in 330 McGonagall Road. Yes, that is where we are physically here on the earth. But when we gather together, it says that we gather in Mount Zion. We gather at the mountain of the Lord. We gather before angels, and we gather before the saints that have gone before us. We gather at a place where Jesus' blood is speaking better things than the blood of Abel. And that's Hebrews 12, if you want to know. We're not gathering at Mount Sinai where, you know, people didn't even want to touch the mountain. We're gathering where we have free access to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can pray prayers of faith in full confidence, knowing that we're not praying to God and hoping that he hears us through some curtain. We're praying to him directly. We have access to the very one who created everything. Yeah, it is good. It's very good. Praise God. Hebrews 10 says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. That's what we're talking about. Because of the blood of Jesus, the blood. It is so powerful. It didn't just wash us white as snow. It gives us access to God the Father. It gives us access to all of his heavenly realm. Just let that sink in for a moment. It gives you access to all of his heavenly realm. You say, well, I can't do much with it down here. No, you can. It's what gives you life. It's what gives you breath. It's what gives you the ability to get up in the morning and get food on your table, and you've got a reason to praise. Thank you, Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way. Jesus opened a way. When that temple curtain tore in two, he was saying, the way's been opened. That the separation from the Father is done. There is now full access to God. And listen here what it says. It says that this way through the curtain into the most holy place beyond the curtain. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Why are we going into his presence? Most likely to ask for help, for ask for his mercy, to work in our friend's life, our family's life, in our lives, in situations. We have access to him. In Hebrews 4, it says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. So let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. In other words, we are righteous and holy. You're saying, well, I can't go before God. I can't do that in myself. No, you can't do it in yourself. But in Christ's righteousness, who's your righteousness, when you've received him, you can. It's not about your behavior. It's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. It's about what you saying, Lord, I believe what you did. I receive what you did into my life. And it brings transformation. It brings change. It brings a fresh understanding of who you are in God and who God is in you. In Revelation chapter 5, we start to see the power of this incense of the prayers of God's people. It says here, then I saw a lamb that looked as if he had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. So Jesus was being represented in this vision of John in book Revelation as a lamb that had been slaughtered. And yes, he had seven eyes and seven horns. It must have been quite the sight, but it represented God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that was in every part of the earth. And that's who we get to interact with, Holy Spirit. We sang it at the very beginning. You're welcome in this place. We're acknowledging that you're here, and we're giving you full access to our hearts and our lives and what you want to do in this service. Said he stepped forward, and he took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense. So they were holding incense, these 24 elders. Now listen about this incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You thought your prayers were something that God got up there and did whatever he did. And just like, you know, we do with our emails, you know, erase once, you know, you're done with it. No, he saves them. He saves them because there's power in those prayers. There's power in your prayer when you pray for your friend. There's power in your prayers when you pray for just something simple in your life. When you give God just glory and praise, because that's a part of prayer. God's saving those because they have power in heaven. I don't understand all the dynamics of that. It doesn't make sense to me how my simple prayer could mean a difference in heaven. That just tells you that God really treasures us as his people. And that he truly understands that when we, by faith, turn our heads and our hearts to heaven, and we go beyond the seen and move into the unseen by faith, that we're activating something that is precious to him. Your prayers are precious to him. He's saving them. Yeah, wow. In Revelation 8, we see them used a little bit. When he opened the seventh seal, this is now Jesus grabbed the scroll that had seven seals on it. There's six seals that went. You can read those previous chapters. When he opened that seventh seal, it says there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. I don't know how John recognized it was a half an hour. I heard a testimony yesterday of someone that had a near-death experience, and while they were in heaven, experiencing their time in heaven, they thought days had passed because so much had happened. But they had only been dead 29 minutes when they came back into their body. So our time and heaven's time and everything is different. But John sensed that it was about a half hour. Let's just say, have you ever stood in a service when I say, let's be quiet for 1 minute? It's deafening for 1 minute. Can you imagine a half hour? If I said, okay, guys, we're just going to be quiet here for a half hour. Some of you would probably just like fall asleep, you know, because it's not normal. So for a half hour, it was silent in heaven. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God with seven trumpets. This is getting ready for the seven trumpets of the judgments of God. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. Now notice again this censer, this bowl that holds things. He was given much incense to offer with the prayer of all God's people. So it wasn't just this heavenly incense. It's now God's people's prayers that are being added to this event that's about to happen. And it says, on the golden altar, in front of the throne of God. So here, remember what I told you, where our prayers go? Right at God's throne. This isn't happening in some, you know, isolated place, you know, away from God. This is right before God the Father. And I believe that's where our prayers go, right before God the Father. On the golden altar in the front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and earthquakes. So even in whenever this time is, someone say, well, you know, just Revelation's just symbolic. Well, it's then very symbolic that our prayers have great power. If this isn't an actual event, it's very symbolic that when we pray, much more is happening than our just prayer being answered. And maybe some of those prayers up there are prayers that seemingly we didn't think were answered. Have you ever prayed a prayer and said, well, God just never answered that? Maybe saying, it's there for another use. Your answer to your prayer may be using for another use. Your prayer may be used for something else in God's kingdom. How many know that God is sovereign? He's sovereign over our lives. He's sovereign over us. There's a song, Sovereign Over Us. And if we can get to the place where we receive his sovereignty, even beyond our lack of being able to see always answers to our prayers. And I'm speaking as someone who's dealt with that with family members and even a son who's since gone to heaven. I'm here to tell you that his ways are higher than our ways. His purposes are greater than our purposes. If we can trust him with every area of our life, whether past, present, or even our future, I believe our prayers have power beyond even the simple prayer that we pray. So David understood something hundreds of years before Jesus came, hundreds of years before the church. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening sacrifice. The power of prayer isn't just a prayer that we pray and we move on. The power of prayer is that it's his incense before God. One of the attributes of prayer. Sometimes we see answers immediately. Praise God for those. I love immediate answers to prayers. Anybody else? And then other times we trust God, the one who holds everything in his hands, our lives and all of eternity. But just know that those unanswered prayers have a purpose in heaven. That gives me hope. That encourages my heart. That makes me want to even pray more. Even if I don't see answers. So I'm, God, you're going to use these prayers for something beyond even my expectations. So Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time together. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth and the reality, Lord, that our prayers are much more powerful, Lord, than we could even think or imagine, that they carry eternal weight. They carry eternal weight. They carry an eternal weight of glory that Paul talks about. The sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Lord, you're working all things together for our good. You're working our prayers, Lord, for future good. And I pray right now, Lord, that we would get this truth in our hearts, that our prayers are before you as incense before your throne, and that they carry great weight, if nothing else, in your heart. But as Revelation 8 shows, they carry great weight and power, even in accomplishing your desire for mankind. Just take a moment, put your hand on your heart. Lord, we just come before you and we ask you, Lord, to do your work in our lives. We give you permission, Jesus, to make us into who you want us to be. We ask you, Lord, to allow us to align with your eternal reality for our lives. Let us, Lord, become a people, Lord, that bring you glory, that cause the name of Jesus to be glorified and praised. Let us become a people, Lord, that represent you well on this earth here and now, Lord, that love well, that serve well, that bless well. And Lord, that speak your truth, God, when necessary, in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Silent, I can help but sing it.
child of God. Sing, I am a child. I am a child of God. Full of victory, yes I am. I am a child of God. Full of forgiveness, I am. I am a child of God. One more time, declare this. I am a child of God.
Hallelujah. We are children of God. And we have an eternal purpose. And our prayers here today have eternal weight of glory. Go be a house of prayer. Go be houses of prayer. Homes of prayer, people of prayer, pray in your workplace, pray in your schools, pray in your recreation time. As Paul said so radically, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. And as you do, I believe God's heart, his desires, what he wants to accomplish in your life will become more evident day by day. Amen. Amen. Love you all. Oh, and I think, did someone have a question? Sorry. Am I messing up now? No, nope, nope.
And people wanted to know, why was it only once a year that they...
That's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Because it was called the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was a special feast that the Israelites had prepared their hearts by coming before God and searching their hearts, looking at all the things they had done that year, and they were asking God to change them as much as he could in that Old Testament. And on this day, the priest of the Day of Atonement would go in beyond the veil. He would have a rope tied to his leg, and he would go in and he would go before God in the very presence of God. He was the only one who could go in once a year. And he put the blood of a slain lamb on the mercy seat. And it pushed off the people's sins for another year. The priest would come back and do it again. And Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. He was our high priest. And his blood was fully effective to cleanse us from all sin, not just for one year, but the rest of our lives. Amen? That's a good question. Huh? In case he died. In case he did something wrong in the presence of God. And the glory of God killed him. There was never a testimony that happened, but you know, they had it just in case. They probably had another priest trembling who was getting ready to go in if something happened. Yes. His side, uh-huh. Blood and water flowed.
With the blood and the water of Christ.
Right.
So was he the first person saved by the blood of Christ?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, if he believed he was, wasn't he? Yes. It says he said, this must be someone very special. This must be the Son of God, because that's what he said. So yeah, he may have been the very first one saved by the blood of Christ. That's a very unique way of looking at it, but I think that's got
to
be truth. He went to his knees. Yep. Yeah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Love you all. Have a great day. Praise God. Amen.